Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So yesterday on Fox, Michael Strahan with the rest of the guys there on the Fox pregame show and everything else took a little bit of a shot at Joe Shane and the Giants organization. And he goes, oh, thanks, Giants, for letting Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney go, because of course both of those guys were playing in that playoff game with the Packers and the Eagles. I mean, conventional wisdom is always set with NFL salaries. It's just one of these things that you don't give the big contract to the safety. You don't give the big contract to the running back. Now, I understand with how bad the Giants have been and those two guys having good seasons, it looks bad. But the Packers gave Xavier McKinney an insane amount of money, and they didn't want to match that.
You know why? Because they don't have any money invested in their wide receivers.
Right.
So if there's money, like, you know, and the Packers do a great job. I mean, they draft good. They know how to, you know, get rid of guys when they're supposed to get rid of guys. How they run their organization, because there's no meddlesome owner involved. That's how an organization needs to be run. I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl, but I will say, ever since Brett Favre arrived on campus there, you know, for the last 30 years, they have been one of the best-run franchises in the NFL.
Sure.
And they got a whole new stadium. Not the new stadium, but the refurbishing and the renovation of Lambeau Field. And they got Titletown now there and everything else. How they're running it is how every team should be running their business.
Yeah, but just to go back to the criticisms of the Giants letting those two guys go, I'm not changing my opinion on that from when it happened. The Giants were bad with those two guys. They were going to continue to be bad with those two guys. And the biggest difference between the Eagles, the Packers, and the Giants is what? Those other teams have quarterbacks. I know that Jalen Hurts has not played well the last couple of weeks after the concussion, has not looked right. But still, Jalen Hurts, you'll take him any day over what the Giants were throwing out there at quarterback the last, the last couple of years of Eli Manning into Daniel Jones.
I also look at the, you know, for the Eagles with Mekhi Becton at right guard, you know, two of those guys made the All-Pro team, and Mekhi wasn't one of them, and everybody's just gushing over how great Mekhi is.
Which is crazy. I never saw that coming.
Yeah, but, you know, and he grew up is what happened. And all these other guys, they grow up, they become motivated.
But how much is going to an organization like that part of that maturation process?
Well,
like
that offensive line has been one of the best offensive lines for as long as I can remember, it seems like.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia. And having Saquon there at the right time and being able to afford him and fit him in under the salary cap, there's other places where they're not spending money, but certainly they are a wide receiver. They're doing it at quarterback. They're doing it at running back. And they're doing it on offensive line. But, you know, they were paying Jason Kelce a lot of money, and he just retired. So they just replaced him, and the next thing you know, they got one of the best running games in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be their identity more than anything, even though they got the big wide receivers and Dallas Goedert. I mean, they're going to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball until you stop them.
They and the Ravens kind of remind me of each other in a sense of how big they are.
Like, yeah.
They're big teams, especially on the offensive line side. And I think, you know, remember early in the season, two things happened with the Ravens. They traded away part of their offensive line, so they had a couple young guys that they believe were going to be able to fill in, and they finally figured it out, and they started to really play well, especially when, you know, you got the two-headed monster of Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. For the Eagles, the same thing. I mean, like, they are a big team. I mean, and that's, like, this time of year, this type of football, you can see everybody's trying to run the ball. It still, you know, goes back to the way football was intended to be played, and that's running the ball on the ground and controlling the game. And when you got the big offensive line and they're healthy, man, that gives you a unique advantage over the teams that you're playing against.
Yeah, frustrating team to play against, because it's basically, you know, first and 10 is is more like first and nine.
You know, I also feel like when you play Buffalo's defense, they're a really athletic defense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not a ginormous defense. They don't have, like, a Vince Wilfork in there or Ted Washington or Fred Smirlis. You know, they're more athletic. Ed Oliver's a very athletic interior defensive lineman. Greg Rousseau is a really athletic. Von Miller, athletic guys on the outside. Maybe a little bit lighter than normal, but very athletic and very fast. And that's, you know, that's the difference between, like, when you play a big team like Baltimore or a big team like Philadelphia, can those guys hold up over the course of four quarters against a quality running back like Derrick Henry? And then when you throw Lamar Jackson in there or Josh Allen in there, you know, can they hold up for four quarters?
Speaking of Vince Wilfork, he's going to be in studio with us tomorrow.
Big Vince, huh?
Yeah.
All right, nice.
Just found that out.
What is he doing?
He's got some plug for something.
These are horse racing.
I think an acid chewable thing, Tums or something.
I'm having. I know you got some bad acid reflux.
Bad scene.
This is the right Vince Wilfork, right?
Yes. It is. I saw a photo of him.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I'm gonna. Hopefully, he brings in some of that product because I've been struggling with that.
I wonder if he's gonna wear his overalls.
Yeah,
without a shirt.
Right. That was a great look. That was a character.
Yes.
What a character.
Well, yeah, it's timely, too, because he was a Vrabel teammate.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Perfect.
Big Vince
coming in.
I like it.
I wonder, is he still very big?
I don't know. That's what I was worried about. I hope he didn't really slim down.
You were hoping he didn't get healthy?
No, we won Big Vince.
I'm sure he's still relatively big. Yeah. There was a funny Vince Wilfork clip back in the day, so... It was one of the ESPN radio shows, I forget, national shows. And they were talking about Vince and his wife and how in love they always seem to be. And how, you know, it's such a great thing in this day and age to see the love that you guys have. And when she's on the screen, and we really feel that, and America can appreciate that. And, you have this?
Right.
So Al just said he had it. So I'll let the audio speak for itself.
I have always enjoyed the way that you talk about your wife and your relationship. You are very comfortable talking about how you met your wife, how much you love her, how important she is to you. And that's the reason that I asked the question. I've always admired that about you, that you have no problems whatsoever professing your love.
Well, the thing is, I got a new wife now. You know, me and Bianca didn't make it. So I moved on. We moved on. It was for the better for both of us. And but we are real, you know, good friends. You know, we are parents first.
Oh, God.
And the love I have for her, I have for her. But, you know.
Well, the thing is, I got a new wife now.
Oh, God. I mean, that guy was not prepared, huh?
Oh, my Lord. Well, the thing is, I got a new wife.
I got to tell you what, Vince handled that really well.
Oh, he absolutely did. I mean, he could have, yeah. Because he knew he wasn't the one that was going to be embarrassed in that situation.
Whoa.
Oh, no. Yeah, I'm not going to. Do I bring that? I can't bring that one off, can I?
You can. I'd have to find it if you're interested.
Do you have it? There was an old Steve Summers clip that Eddie was alluding to that was similar. If you have it, I would play it.
I have to find it.
Okay, all right. But I just love how, like, you have no idea what's coming after that the first time you hear it. He goes, well, the thing is, he could say anything. That, you know, really what the basis of a great relationship is, it could have been anything. The thing is, I got a new wife. Oh, it's just the best. Let's go to Lee, who's in Manhattan. What's going on, Lee? Lee!
Hey guys,
what's up, man?
So you were talking about the George Pickens clip where he goes, "Nah," when he's talking about if he's optimistic for the future.
Yeah.
If you watch the video of him, I actually think he wasn't being negative. I don't think he knows what optimistic means. I'm serious. Watch it, and then if you think about all the things Tomlin says, imagine coaching him. He probably doesn't know what half the stuff is. You got to watch what he was not being nasty. He was like, "Nah," and his body language was all fine. I don't think he knew what it meant.
Yeah, and but George Pickens has a history of being a pain in the ass, and I could totally see him saying that. Now, if this was a wide receiver that
you know, wasn't like this was Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, for example. Those guys really haven't been that much of divas out there and answering questions. And they did something like that. I was like, wait a second, that's off brand. Maybe he misheard the question. But let's, and you say you got to watch it, but well, let's listen to it again and see if we have a different take on it.
George, you've been with this offense now for 3 years. Have you seen signs of growth, and how much more does this team still need to grow offensively?
Yeah, I've seen signs of growth for sure. From past, you know, the first year I've been here, just way more growth for sure.
George, does that make you optimistic going forward?
Nah.
He knows.
He's got to know.
He's optimistic. I mean, come on.
I don't know. If you watch him, he kind of like it seems like he's trying to behave. And then
he's trying to behave.
Yeah, I don't think he's capable of that, Lee. I mean, yeah. It is. Yeah. I mean, it's such a crazy answer that I could understand why Lee came up with his theory on that. But that's totally something George Pickens is going to do.
I just think he hates playing with Russell Wilson.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, this has been going on
and
for
Justin Fields, at least, by the way.
About 4 weeks where we've been talking about, are they on the same page or not on the same page?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they ask Russell Wilson. Russell says they're not on the same page. And they go run back to George Pickens. They say, well, Russell said that you're not on the same page, you know, that kind of thing.
And if he didn't say that, I'm sure didn't mean that, I think one of the PR guys would have gone and clarified it at some point.
Yeah, you know? That's what I think.
And I didn't see any of that. So probably that's what he meant. Nah. I mean, he is one of the more entertaining players in the game right now because he's just volatile. You have no idea what's happening. But that team, man, that's another one of these situations where you feel like all they need is that guy at that position. Oof. And they could compete with the best in the conference. You know, they were 10-3 at one point and finding a way. And then they just lost out. Lost every game.
Well, I mean, all their games towards the end of the season, and everybody kind of said it about them that the heavy part of their schedule, or the more difficult part of their schedule, was the last quarter of their schedule. And it turned out to be such.
Yeah.
Because they beat up on a lot of bad teams. You know, they beat a couple of teams early on that were reasonably decent at that time. But their finishing schedule may have been one of the hardest in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, they had the Ravens in there. They had the Bengals in there. And the Chiefs in there, didn't they? On yep. Christmas.
Yep.
So, yeah, for sure. I mean, the AFC is just a better conference right now.
And I'm going to go to my deathbed thinking that T.J. Watt was completely hurt. If you told me that he was going to have surgery on his foot or ankle or something like that after the season, I would not be shocked.
Yeah, he played through it, which is commendable. But on the other hand, he was just not productive at all. Wasn't himself. Wasn't even close to being himself.
The question you would have to ask yourself is his replacement, could he have done what he did? Or just his presence on the field impacts the way an offense would play against your team.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, and listen, if he could play, he was going to play. That's the type of guy he is. So I'm sure that it's still a benefit of having him out there. But I mean, the bigger problem is they don't know how to score any points. So that's the bigger issue.
Well, when you got 4th and an inch,
yeah,
you got to go for it. You got to go for it. Unless you're on your own 10-yard line.
Yeah. And if we can't play it, but if you look on the John Gruden X account, there's a video of Jersey Jerry from Barstool talking to John Gruden about that 4th and inches punt and the interaction there. It's about 16 seconds. It's just worth your time. And they have Gruden there watching all these games late night with all those mutants there in the in the gambling cave. It's unbelievable.
And Gruden's perfect.
And he's sitting there. At one point, he's watching the Steeler game. It's a terrible game, Steelers-Ravens. And he goes, man, I wish I was home watching The Walking Dead, man. You ever see The Walking Dead? Like, yeah, it's got to be the best TV show, man. They're out there eating people. Innocent people, man, just getting snarfed.
He started rooting for the guy.
And he goes, then I started finding myself rooting for the Walking Dead, man, rooting for the zombies, you know? That's a great show. Can't wait to see what happens.
Speaking of zombies, what are the Jets doing?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I really have no idea. I think it's either going to be Borgonzi and Nagy, maybe Phil Savage still there, and Aaron Glenn, or Ray Agnew and Aaron Glenn. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, those are my best guesses. It could be Flores and McCown coming in. Mm. Those would be my three. My three would be So I don't know who the GM would be in that situation.
You gotta remember, Josh McCown got interviewed for the Houston Texans head coach before D'Amico Ryans. And, you know, Josh wasn't even a coach yet. I don't think.
No, he wasn't.
He was either the backup quarterback. I remember one team, like his kids were in school and he wanted to see his kids play in school. So he kind of quasi-retired. And there was a team that said, look, man, just stay in shape because you never know. We might need you. Who was that team? Was that Houston? And then my buddy Frank hired him down in Carolina.
Yep. For that half a year that David Tepper let them coach.
That's right. And then he ended up going up to Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell. And Josh McCown has got a very, very good, solid reputation within the NFL coaching ranks.
Yeah, so you get Flores and then McCown to be the OC. Could be worse. Could do worse than that.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. One more game of this wild card weekend tonight. Vikings and Rams, a lot of action yesterday. Jerry Recco back to tell us all about it. What's happening, Jerry?
All right, good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. The only highlights I'll play are from the night game last night. That was the Commanders and the Bucks. I'll give you the two. This was the Baker Mayfield fumble in the fourth quarter. You could certainly make the case the biggest play in the game. Washington does it defensively, or they were just opportunistic as Mayfield screwed up the handoff.
First and 10, they're at their own 15-yard line. In motion, Jalen McMillan. It's a fumble, the ball's on the ground. It's out. Does Washington have it? They do!
It's got punched by Flash. It just got punched.
He did get punched out. So that was Washington Radio. And yes, that is London Fletcher there. We were trying to figure that out last week. And then after this, you had a couple of sequences where Washington would score a touchdown. Tampa would go down. They would kick a field goal to tie because they were stopped on 2nd-and-1 and 3rd-and-1 at the Washington 12. And then you got the game winner from Zane Gonzalez.
Zane Gonzalez looking to send Washington into the divisional round. Snap good, hold down, kick on its way. It is good! The Cardiac Commanders are the Clutch Commanders. They do it again. We'll see you in Detroit.
And Zane Gonzalez kicks in the door and kicks us into the second round of the playoffs.
Yes, they will take on the Lions. Again, Washington Radio with the call. 23-20 was the final score. Here was Dan Quinn just talking about how clutch his team has been in big moments.
Maybe it's the volume, David, of close games that you've been in. I've been on some teams that were exceptional, but they were maybe not in a lot of close ones.
Yeah, maybe play a lot of blowout games.
Did you see Jaden Daniels when that kick went through? Did you see the video of him?
No.
It's unbelievable.
In what regard?
He's just sitting there on the bench. And he looks up and he watches it. He's got no reaction. He keeps sitting there. Then he stands up, walks over to a guy, and finally smiles. And it's just like, yeah, it was supposed to happen. I mean, that guy, he's going to win a Super Bowl.
I did see the reaction of Baker Mayfield, who looked like...
I saw Mike Evans, too.
I blew it.
Yeah, and Mike Evans was pissed. But Jaden Daniels, I mean, that guy's just as calm as anybody who plays the position in football as a rookie. It's crazy.
So they will see if he can be calm on Saturday night as they play in Detroit. Now, the Eagles beat the Packers 22-10. This was an ugly game, but a win is a win. Here was Nick Sirianni. He knows, maybe not great, but you know what? It was good enough.
We struggled a little bit as an offense. You know, I don't think we had the game that we wanted to have on offense.
No, but it still was a win, and they are advancing. Here was A.J. Brown. This has been a topic all morning, the book that he was reading on the bench on the sidelines.
That's a book that I bring every single game. And, you know, my teammates call it The Recipe. You know, that's the first time I heard that y'all got me on camera. But it's not the first game. You know, it got a lot of points in there. It's a lot of mental game, a lot of mental parts about it.
A lot of mental. Yes.
I've been watching the video of this. It's amazing.
Did he do that at the Meadowlands or no?
No, he didn't. I watched a lot of him because he, well, also fantasy football. I was all over him. I was watching him. Needed a touchdown. Got a touchdown from him. So I was watching him and Saquon and all that stuff. Hey, I did not see any. No way. I didn't even see him sitting. To be honest with you, he stood a lot. But no, he's never. Even Jalen Hurts said he never saw that.
I mean, could you imagine if a guy comes over, puts headsets in, and says, "What are you doing? I'm listening to a podcast."
No,
that's what I do to calm me down. to focus me, to listen to a podcast.
Now, that was definitely the lack of targets and the lack of passing game, and he probably, I think it was in the second half, and he probably went in, got it. It's like, you know what? You're not going to throw me the ball, sit here and read a book.
I know who knows. Brandon Graham. Where is
That's
he
a
when you
great
need him?
Point.
Where is he when you need him?
I'll tell you, also knows Philadelphia. I could text him. And Big Dom. Says he that the first time he's had, he probably wouldn't do it. These guys are so loyal to their players.
They should be.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah. And I've always been conditioned to dislike the Philadelphia Eagles, but how nice they were to me when I did that game is now screwing me up. It's screwing me up.
It can happen.
And I know, I mean, they'll probably, if the Vikings win tonight, they'll probably lose to the Eagles, and then I could maybe be like, ah, well, good for them.
You know, the thing about it is, with your new contacts at the Eagles, it would probably give you a sideline pass.
Oh, dude.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, you should
let me get
there.
My will together.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, no. I mean, you're working. No one's going to bother you. On the sideline? On the sideline.
On the sideline. Okay, so you're saying I'm in plain clothes?
Yeah, holding a microphone like you're doing something.
But then I'd have to be on the Eagles sideline, right?
So what?
Well, so what?
You're not cheering anyway. You're going to be have a media pass.
I could.
Internally, you're going to be excited.
Maybe you can get some Eagle communication and come up with a hand signal for you and Kevin O'Connell.
Imagine that. What a story that would be. They'd do a 30 for 30 on that. You know, two high school buddies. I go down there, me in the media, him in the equipment room, and he gives me a pass because I'm a Vikings fan. I sit there and betray him by like, flashing signals across to Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores.
Like this, like this.
pass, run.
Well, Philadelphia will be home for the winner of tonight's game between the Vikings and Rams. That'll be on Sunday. Also yesterday, you had the Bills winning as they beat the Broncos 31-7. Here is Sean McDermott talking about the 4th-and-1 play, the touchdown to Ty Johnson in the back of the end zone where he somehow kept his feet off the end line.
On Ty's touchdown, I was going, come on. Oh, yeah, good. So the review was important right there, too, I know. Ty's just, he makes plays. And Josh has a lot of trust in him, as you saw.
And that was a big one. Here is Josh Allen. It wasn't just me. It wasn't just Ty Johnson. It was all of us.
Ultimately, it's not the X's and O's. It's the Jimmys and Joes, and guys are ready to go. We got our rest, getting able to kind of not play everybody.
And last week in New England is what he's referencing.
About the X's and O's, about the bitches and hoes. That's what they used to say when I was in high school.
Wow.
I mean, that play was the game. Like, the game was never the same after that.
The Broncos weren't coming back anyway, but you're right.
I mean, it's 13-7. They could have stopped them. Still a one-score game. Yeah. Then Josh Allen and Ty Johnson make that play.
You know what's really interesting about this Bills-Baltimore game is that Baltimore wasn't as good a team when they beat the Bills the first time this year. Baltimore's such a better team today than they were like 10 weeks ago.
You love the Ravens in this game. I can feel it already. Early Ravens lean from Boomer. Heard a couple leaning. He's leaning into Baltimore.
But I will say, though, the spread, you know, what it kind of tells me, like, they want people to bet Baltimore because it's below 3. What's it, 2.5 now?
It's 1.5,
I think. 1.5.
Here is Sean Payton. How did Bo Nix do in his first playoff game?
He hung in there. He battled. There's some third downs I'm sure he'll want back, some plays he'll want back. It's pretty tough to play that position when the opponent's rushing the ball the way they are and you're not having the consistency.
And so their season's over. The Buffalo-Baltimore game you're referencing, Sunday night, 6:30 on CBS. That'll be the Nance Romo game, I imagine.
Yes.
On Sunday. Did you catch, they did a nice thing for Nance's 500th NFL game?
Yes.
That was pretty cool.
I had one of those games.
Where you did 500? Yes. Really?
No, yeah, it was probably 400 and, I don't know, was that probably 81 or 82 or something like that?
Oh, and they gave you a cake for 482?
No, I only did one game.
Oh, okay.
I think it was game 482. 480, I don't know what it was. Remember, I did the game for Tony Romo.
Oh, I think.
Oh, one of the Nance games, yes, you're saying.
Canada hated you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well,
I thought you were saying
I was celebrated
your...
saw the that's problems with Canada. Yeah. And if you take a look at their Canadian junior hockey team that basically lost to Latvia this year... Tells you all you need to know about Canada and where they are. Okay?
How many games did you announce, would you say, in your NFL career? Westwood One and on TV.
And on TV, let's see. I would imagine 10, 15, 200, 300?
300?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
No cake
should be
for
a cake
you.
For 300.
Yeah, they should have gotten a cake.
It's a big number.
It actually might have been more than that.
Howie Dinneroff didn't give you a cake or like a cupcake or something for game number 300?
Nope.
What else? All right, Vikings-Rams tonight. Here is Sean McVay. We know what's been going on in California is just atrocious. They've had to deal with it, and he feels like they're going to be set to go tonight.
I've been really pleased with the prep that we've had. Our guys have been locked in, focused. We know we've still got a little bit of time until kickoff, but a lot of people brought their families with them, and so that's good. And, we're looking forward to Monday night.
And here's your guy, Sam Darnold, getting this big playoff start.
First playoff experience starting, so I'm excited about that. But just another really good opportunity against a great Rams team, a great, great defense, great coordinator, really good scheme players. They play really fast in that scheme, and we're just excited about this challenge.
Al had a great idea. If you really want to toy with the New York fans, at some point, Sam Darnold plays well and Daniel Jones plays a part in a Vikings win.
Oh, God. Unbelievable. Al, you're rooting for
something.
So he'll be in, Daniel Jones will be in uniform.
Yep, he will for the first time. That is correct.
What's his number?
I guess, right? Because Kirk was 8, and now he's not there anymore. So probably 8.
You might.
The snowman.
He is 13, it says.
No, okay. Lucky number 13.
And the Patriots hired Mike Vrabel over the weekend, as we know. Rex Ryan and ESPN had reaction to the Vrabel hiring.
Hey, man. I mean, hopefully I get to kick this guy's ass twice a year. I don't know what
Just kidding. Them jets, huh?
I'm just kidding, buddy.
maybe your team.
My team, yes, but not me personally.
Probably not, and probably not his team, because I don't think he's going to get the job, but who knows?
Connor Hughes said that he believes that the Jets are fully out on Rex Ryan.
He believes, or sources have told him.
I don't know how he put it, but he basically said that Rex was out.
Okay, fair enough. From basketball, Sunday afternoon game between the Knicks, Giannis, and the Bucks, and this was all New York.
Brunson looking. Again, he likes his matchup with Green. And hits another three. 5 for 10. He's got 40.
Got the Midas touch going on tonight.
And the Knicks back up by 20.
Yeah, they won by a lot. That was Mike Breen and Clyde Frazier on MSG. 140-106. The Knicks beat the Bucks. Knicks go to 26-14. Jalen Brunson at 44 points. He was 16 of 26 from the floor. Karl Anthony Towns shot it well. 30 points, 18 rebounds. Here was Brunson on MSG postgame.
I mean, whatever it takes to win. And I was reading how things are being played and kind of got off to a hot start, and we just got it going from there.
And they got some contributions off the bench. Cameron Payne, 18 points. Knicks home for the Pistons coming up later tonight. I usually wouldn't play this, but the Nets lost in overtime last night to the Jazz, 112-111, early on in this game. So fair to say Ben Simmons in the lineup, out of the lineup. Hurt, not hurt. It's all the same. It just continues. So this was early on when he makes a bucket. Listen to Capstraw at the end.
Backed it out to Clowney. He'll reset for Simmons. Simmons one-on-one with Potter. Turns in the lane with a right hook, and it rolls in. And Ben Simmons then gives him the too small as he goes the other way.
Well, let's see don't be too long here there, Ben Simmons. Let's see how long you can play well. Sustain it. Look at me. I'm giving him heat.
Yeah. Stay in the game.
Tim Crapstraw.
Yeah, so that was Chris and Tim last night on the
Girls,
fan.
Look at me. I'm giving him heat. I'm used to criticizing people this much.
It was Isaiah Collier, the go-ahead hoop. He had 23. That came with 2 seconds to go. Brooklyn has lost 5 in a row. Cavaliers winning streak over at 12 as they lost to the Pacers. Lakers and Clippers with home games tonight as they try to get back to, I guess, some sort of normalcy. Lakers take on the Spurs. You've got the Clippers playing the Heat at the Intuit Dome. And we will have Rutgers UCLA on the fan tonight at 6:30 with the pregame at 6:15. All right, time now for what we call Moment of the Day. And the guys, just last hour, were discussing the national anthem in Philadelphia on Sunday. And then they were discussing a famous violinist. Do I have that correct?
That is correct.
Yes. And it went like this.
Maybe we can get him in here to play it.
I don't think Yitzhak Perlman's coming in here.
Says he lives in New York City with his wife.
That's what I'm saying. I bet you we can get him in here to play it.
You think, I mean, this guy is the man.
The
preeminent violinist of his generation.
We're their preeminent morning talk show hosts.
He's not going to, you think he's going to come in here and do the national anthem?
Why does somebody out there knows, how do you say his first name?
Yitzhak.
I've heard of him. Yixok. Somebody out there knows Yixok.
Yeah.
I think it's Itchcock.
No, it's Yitzhak. It's not Itchcock. Now he's definitely not coming in.
Did you just... he cracked himself up.
Yeah, there goes our chance at Yitzhak.
Hey. Dope. He just totally cracked himself up.
I can see phonetically spelled Itchcock Brennan, and it came up.
Come on. Somebody out there knows this guy.
He's world famous,
listening to us right now, and they're reaching out to him as we speak.
Yeah, right. He said, oh, they're talking about how great you are, and then all of a sudden the producer calls him Itchcock, and now it's over.
There you go. Moment of the day.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, I got something for you guys. Okay. I was just thinking about this because you were showing me some highlights from Barstool this break. So if you had an opportunity, unfettered, just you and one other person to watch an NFL football game with, have a couple cocktails, and just let that guy be that guy, but you're there and you're watching the game with that guy.
Yeah, who would it be? The reason you brought it up, because it's Gruden watching games with these Barstool employees, and it's just so good, and everybody's hanging on every word. He's hilarious. He's telling these stories. So, I mean, honestly, I'm getting to experience the Gruden thing, so I would leave him out of it. For me, I have to go to my fandom early on, and plus the guy's got a great personality, and I think he's doing a little bit better now. For me, I think it would be Randy Moss.
Oh, that's great. That'd be a good one.
I think me and Randy Moss watching a game.
You think he would be receiver-centric, of course, right?
Yeah, but he'd be talking about the whole game like he does on ESPN, and just, you know, colorful and just loud and getting excited. I'd like to watch a Minnesota Viking game with Randy Moss. That would be the guy for me.
All right. That's specific. So, all right, how about you, Al?
Based on the Geo's story of meeting him in person, and this wasn't on the air, the Ron Jaworski seems like a fun guy to watch a game with.
That's a good one.
That would be a good one.
You know, I got another one, too, by the way. Bob Wiley.
Yes.
The old offensive line coach for the Browns who coached you. That guy, you know, hat!
That guy.
Normandy. Think they were pulling hamstrings back then in World War II? He would be amazing to watch a game with.
How about you, Eddie?
I would have to say Belichick, just because he seems like such a genius and a historian. That would be cool to get his insights on.
Like, for me, and I've done this, so watching with Coach Cower and watching with Phil Sims and watching them argue back and forth is like the price of gold. I mean, really, it is. It is so much fun watching like an argument here or there because they both were very passionate about the way things were going down. So I have actually had this experience. I would say if I had to go back, if I could get a guy hammered, like just hammered to watch a game, I think it would have to be somebody like Conrad Dobler.
Wow. Yeah, one of the dirtiest but greatest offensive linemen in history.
Yeah, I think I would. I think that, like, or maybe Ted Hendricks, watching a game with him while he's high. Yeah. I actually worked with Deacon Jones way back when in 2001, and he was hilarious. So I've actually had a couple of these experiences watching some of these unique personalities as it actually comes out of them. But it was like coming back from the Super Bowl in the back of the plane with me and Phil.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, that was amazing. And that wasn't just football stuff. That was everything. That was life stuff. That wasn't just when we weren't watching a football game. We were just listening to Phil talk about everything that was on his mind via the Casamigos filter.
Yeah, which was great. I mean, that's what I'm kind of talking about. Like that 3.5 hour with your guy that you've always wanted to watch a football game with, and hopefully that personality and that person comes out.
Yeah, I know I talk about it all the time with the Gruden stuff with Barstool, but I honestly, it is my favorite stuff going right now. When he goes in, when he's just sitting there and they put up the clips, I probably couldn't sit there and watch the whole thing, but when they like clip out things, like something will come up and he'll just go into these stories, it's just the best. You know, he's talking about Sebastian Janikowski. He's like, man, we drafted Janikowski in the first round, man, you know, and this guy couldn't make curfew, he couldn't make kicks, so I'm getting pissed, right? And we go to New Orleans, he's out to 3 a.m., doesn't make curfew, so I'm really pissed. So we go down the field, you know, we have like a fourth and three. It'd be like a 52-yard field goal. And I go, field goal. And I wanted him to miss, man.
Well, then the special teams coach tell him, like, he can't make this field goal. He's nuts. He's still drunk.
Exactly. The special teams coach man comes up to me. He goes, you can't do that, man. He's drunk. He's like, no, field goal. So he goes out there and he nails it, man. 52 yards right down the middle. I said, great effing kick. He goes, I don't care as long as you play well.
Think about those guys at Barstool. They're sitting there with John Gruden with that personality.
Yeah, it's spectacular. I mean, I hope all of them appreciate it. I mean, a lot of them are younger, so I hope that they understand how that is.
I would think they do.
But it is. Oh, it's the best. Let's go to Justin at Asbury Park. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, what's happening, gentlemen? How are you?
Great, man. What's up?
So I got a question. So Giants pass, right? Ben McAdoo wanted Patty Mahomes. Brian Daboll wanted Jaden Daniels. When are we going to stop slobbing the knob of John Mara and get on his butt like we do Woody Johnson, who, by the way, has a way better name? We should have him introduce Hitchcock with a violinist when the Jets actually play well.
Yeah, I do believe that John Mara has received a lot of criticism, but the difference is, I mean, you know, he's got Lombardis when he was the principal owner of the team. Like, he was the guy that was handed a Lombardi trophy twice, you know, since the new century. So, you know, He's definitely caught it, though, man. I mean, we've been talking about all these terrible hires for the longest time. So, you know, there's no doubt about it. And as far as the Jaden Daniels thing, as he said that he deserves, John Mara deserves some criticism for not trading for Jaden Daniels. He didn't tell his guys not to trade.
By the way, Washington was not trading.
Yeah.
They were not.
That's the other part of it.
Because they saw, I think, what Brian Daboll saw, which was in offseason Hard Knocks prior to the draft. Like, how good this kid could be at the next level. And everybody, I think, was universally, thank you. Universally in lockstep with the top two picks in the draft this past year.
Well, top three, you know.
Yeah, top three even, yeah. So this coming year, not so much.
And they talked to the Patriots. I mean, they knew that the Commanders weren't coming off it. They knew that the Bears weren't coming off. And they talked to the Patriots. The Patriots offered something that was insane, like three straight years of first-round picks and more, and they're like, we can't do that. And they couldn't do that. It just so happened that they ended up winning a game towards the end of the season that they shouldn't have won, and they dropped down to four. So, I mean, it's just sometimes that's what it is. You know, and I know Trevor Lawrence has not had a good career, like the career we expected, and he's been a lot of injuries, but that was the difference between Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, too. I mean, people still think you can salvage Trevor Lawrence's career where Zach Wilson's a third string in Denver, but, you know, winning a game in L.A., Adam Gase and Frank Gore, the Jets, you know, that changed everything there, too.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's, but John Mara's received criticism, but not the same criticism as Woody Johnson because, I mean, the Giants, as bad as they've been, were in the playoffs 2 years ago. The Jets currently have the longest playoffless streak in the NFL.
You know, I would say probably the last 5 years, most of the complaints that have come my way anyway from Giant fans have started with Mr. Mara, unfortunately. Then it would delve into Daniel Jones, and it would go into the different head coaches they've had here. Then it would be the offensive coordinators. And then, of course, it was the decision-making on the roster, the draft choices that, you know, didn't pan out. You know, everybody says, oh, yeah, the Giants got to work on the offensive line. The Giants have been working on the offensive line for 10 years.
I know. They have tried.
And so have the Jets, both of them.
And there's been only a few guys that have worked out. And, you know, Nate Solder was a bad one, unfortunately. Of course, Evan Neal, a bad one. But Andrew Thomas, a great one. I mean, Elijah Vera Tucker's been a good one, but he's been hurt a million times. It's just on and on and on.
It just happens. They can't stay healthy.
Yep. But it is, say, and next year they're both going to be bad again. I mean, I know that some Jet fans think if you run it back and get the right coach and Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers healthy, maybe you could make the playoffs or at least have a 9-win season, a winning season. I don't see it that way. I just think that both teams are going to end up being bad again next year, especially the Giants.
Be interesting to see where Devontae Adams ends up. I think at his point in his career, he still has a lot left to give. You know, I'm a huge fan of this guy. And, if I were an older quarterback on a team and he would take a little bit less money to come and try to win a Super Bowl late in his career, man, I would be pressing my ownership to go after him.
Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City.
Cincinnati replacing T. Higgins.
Yeah, another one. Another really good one. Yeah, somewhere in the AFC.
Anywhere those great quarterbacks are located, if you want a shot, he also could end up going to San Francisco. Because if they end up having to move, say, Deebo Samuel because they have to pay Brock Purdy, or Brandon Ayuk for that matter.
Sure. Or not pay Juwan Jennings. Well, actually, they're probably going to keep him.
Yeah, I would think so. So, I mean, like, they have a lot of moving parts out there in San Francisco. But again, that's, if I'm Devontae, that's what I'm trying to do. I've made a lot of money. I got an opportunity here because I still got a lot left. He still looked great in a Jet uniform. If they don't want him back and he can sign maybe a 2-year deal with somebody with that right quarterback, I think he could still be really effective.